Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Hi, I'm Adam Grant, host of the podcast Work Life. For over 20 years, Paylocity has been simplifying work with innovative solutions that teams love, like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
So today is a real honor for me as I had the pleasure of working with this man back in 2014 at Reed.co.uk. It was my first ever sales job in London. So everything I've learned started with this man. I've worked with a lot of sales managers in my time, and this man is one of the most down-to-earth and motivational. He's currently heading sales over at Adzana, a smarter, more transparent job search engine. It's Mr. Ian Wills.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Ian?
I'm very well, thanks. Very well.
Fantastic. So we had the pleasure of working together 8 years ago at Reed.co.uk, and I remember walking into the office and you were there with a beaming smile on your face and you were like, you could win a chance to New York. This is a printout of the Statue of Liberty and it might have had your face on. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah. We did a few interesting motivational competitions and prizes. I think, as you know, it was kind of on the phones all day, every day, wasn't it, really? So the view really was to try and keep things kind of interesting, try and sort of break the boredom up a little bit, try and give everyone something to sort of aspire to and reach for. Even if it was a bit daft sometimes, I think we did some competitions around tennis, I seem to remember, a Wimbledon competition and stuff like this. We tried to kind of keep it topical with whatever the month of the year was. But yeah, it was always all about just trying to kind of keep people entertained, really, and take their mind off what could be quite dumb quite most of the time, so that when the good call for the day came along, they were up for it and sort of full of energy. That was the kind of plan, really.
Absolutely. And I think it definitely showed, because Reed was a great place to work. And obviously what I do now is it's all day, every day on the phones. And I think a lot of that tenacity was learned back in the kind of the early days of just doing that. So I really appreciate you taught me everything I know, I'll say. So I guess a good place to start is my dad can get very easily confused. He doesn't really understand what I do for a living. So that's quite interesting. But if you were to sit down with him over a brew in the north and you were to explain what you do, what would you say that you do for a living?
So I run a team that That's an important distinction, because I'm very rarely now the one who actually does the doing. But I run a team that speak to people who recruit for major UK businesses, and we help them to try and get more better candidates. It's basically, in a nutshell, as simple as that.
Okay. And what kind of, when you say you run a team, what kind of things, are we still doing the fun competitions, or what are the kind of the big things in a day, I guess, that you have to challenge, or the challenges or the focus that you do?
Yeah, so it's a bit different. I think the team that you and I worked on at Reed was quite a lot of relatively junior people, quite new into the industry. So I think you tend to try and make those things a little bit more fun, because you've got some people who are relatively inexperienced. I'm quite lucky now that I've got a team that are all relatively experienced. That kind of motivational side, to a large degree, kind of comes from them.
Yeah.
I think as well, obviously the last 2 years and everyone working remotely from home, and the only way I've sort of seen my team is on a little square in the top corner of a screen. Yeah, that's sort of changed things quite a lot, because a lot of that kind of day-to-day grabbing 5 minutes with someone, just have a quick word, or seeing someone has a bad call and you go over and just put an arm around them really, and just ask them how it went and tell them not to worry too much about it and crack on. You can't do any of that now, because you're not physically present. So I think a lot of it now, and it might be the distance, or the fact we're all separated, or it might be a bit more senior, or it might just be that the world moves on. But a lot of it, I think, is around giving people a structure to a day that they feel comfortable and they can follow, and then kind of giving them the freedom and the trust to get on within that structure. And when they need help, put their hand up and say, listen, I'm a bit stuck. But most of the time, if we've all agreed this is the way to approach your block of work this week, this month, whatever, then let people get on with it, and they'll give a shout if they need some help. But if everything's going smoothly, leave them to it, leave them to get on with it and check in now and again. So I think it has changed a bit, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And obviously with the pandemic, we have to adapt quite quickly. And I think most people are quite comfortable now working from home, being left to their own devices, not having a boss standing over them, tapping their watch or what have you. But again, a little bit like when you walk in the ring, you need those people to have the right mindset in the first place. All those competitions and all of that just wouldn't work if that wasn't what they were into, if they didn't enjoy getting on the phone and the kind of the tough times and the good times, and that wasn't part of what they enjoyed. All the competitions in the world, all the structure in the world isn't necessarily going to turn them into a salesperson. So you kind of need the raw material to start with.
Yeah. Is that a skill set that you've always had, Ian, or is that something that you worked on? Were you always naturally a people person?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably. I used to play quite a lot of sport, not to any great level, but kind of being in and part of a team and just sort of knowing that, at certain sports, you might be one of the better ones, and you kind of normally take a leadership role. At other ones, you're just a member of the team. You're not necessarily any great shakes. So you kind of learn that your job is to put the effort in and do the basics and kind of make sure you don't let anyone down. And I think those kinds of, just situational understanding that you're playing a part as a member of the team, and, you need to do your bit, and that might not be what you really want to be doing, but if it helps everyone to be getting where they are, then you're absolutely contributing. And I guess that kind of, that mindset I feel I've always had. So I guess I've been able to apply that.
Yeah, sounds like you're a real team player. Always have been a team player. Know where you fit in the team and know how to get the most out of the team.
Yeah, yeah. Be the last one picked, but at least you get on the pitch, right? And then you can share in the glory.
I know the feeling well. Did you say you're based up north?
No, I'm in London.
You're in London. Have you? You've been up north, I imagine.
I've visited.
You visited. Have you ever been to Blackpool?
Yes, I have.
You have. I want you to imagine that you're at the top of Blackpool Tower, and when you look out, the view is all your achievements so far in your life. Where's the bit that's drawing your eye as your biggest achievement?
It's a good question. So I think if we take away the two answers, which are it hasn't happened yet, because I think you've always got to believe that, there's still stuff to achieve and prove. And if we take away the sort of the family side of things and bringing the kids up, I don't think I've got any sort of standout, like that was the moment I felt like I kind of reached the top. I think actually the bits that kind of stick out are probably the really tough moments. So there's been a couple of businesses where I was made redundant because, you know, the business sort of hit difficult times. We obviously had the sort of the recession 08 through to about 11, and a couple of roles I had there, you know, just didn't work out. And then obviously like the last 2 years have been pretty tough. And certainly that first 3 months from sort of March to May 2020, when frankly, certainly in a recruitment-based industry, everyone was looking around going, I don't know, is anyone ever going to hire anyone ever again, sort of thing. So I think in the absence of a sort of standout golden moment I can show you the photos from, I think it probably is those times that you look back on and go, you know, we have to really dig deep and sort of find a little bit out about yourself and how much resilience you did have and how creative and self-motivated you could be when, you know, things really weren't going your way. And then sort of beyond that, that's sort of an internal personal thing. But also when you're running a team, you know, you've got to be putting a sort of face onto the team, and you've got to be, you know, you might be feeling like, my God, this is going dreadfully. And, you know, I don't know when I sit down with my boss in 2 weeks, I'm not quite sure how that conversation is going to go because, you know, we aren't really generating the revenue. But you can't really, you know, you've got to be honest with your team, but you can't really pour that onto them. So you've got to keep a degree of kind of a face on. And I think that, you know, being able to manage those two things, not only your own kind of emotions around difficult times, but also still trying to get that team to function and not let them become kind of downcast and morose. I think those are the bits you look back on. I think I did quite well. In a sense, when things are all going great and everyone's high-fiving and it's all down the pub at 5 o'clock, that's the easy bit, isn't it? Yeah. Everyone can enjoy that bit. So I think I'd probably say those would be the moments I'd look back on, kind of not necessarily with any fondness, but with the most pride.
Hey, I'm Elise Hugh, host of the podcast TED Talks Daily. For more than 20 years, Paylocity has been leading the way with cutting-edge work solutions like on-demand payment, which offers employees access to wages prior to payday, flexible time tracking features, which enable staff to clock in and out through their mobile device, and numerous other cutting-edge solutions that simplify collaboration across HR, finance, and IT. Learn more about how Paylocity can help streamline work and enhance business outcomes for your organization at paylocity.com/simplified.
Does it ever feel like you're a marketing professional just
speaking into the void?
Well, with LinkedIn ads, you can know you're reaching the right decision makers. You can even target buyers by job title, industry, company, seniority, skills. Wait, did I say job title yet? Get started today and see how you can avoid the void and reach the right buyers with LinkedIn ads. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
Amazing. That's good. That's a good answer. I mean, probably not one that we've had so far. Usually people, it's when they got their Lamborghini or something. But having something that's more of an internal drive, obviously, put you in good stead to do what you're doing now. So is there anything that you learned about yourself in those moments that you didn't already know?
Loads. Not necessarily things I'm going to reveal to you here now, though.
Okay, fair enough. No.
I think it's just about sort of, I think you learn to become more balanced. I think one of the things we were going to talk about was sort of lessons you've learned, or what would you say to your kind of your 18-year-old self? And I just think kind of trying at all times to retain that sense of balance. You know, it's never quite as bad as it looks. You're never quite as good as you think you are. And sort of being able to accept that, you know, if things aren't going tremendously well at your company or in your role at one time, it's the same for half the people out there, right? I mean, the law of averages says that half the people out there are also going to be going through some form of, you know, it's not going great right now. And you've just got to kind of suck that up and get on with it. And I think trying to just sort of relax. I mean, it's difficult in a sales role and within a business, you know, certainly when you get to levels where you're on sort of management boards and stuff, you are the money face of that business. You know, if the business isn't going well, people are looking at you saying, well, where's it coming from? And, you know, that's a reasonable weight to carry around. But again, I think you've just got to be able to treat it with a little bit of wry humour if you can, and sort of just, you know, be able to, as I say, apply that balance. Say, well, listen, 6 months ago we were flying and everyone was patting us on the back. This is the flip side of that, and we've just got to double down, focus, think our way through it. Let's not lose our focus and our ability to think straight. Let's think our way through it. Let's, you know, sometimes I've been the victim of it. I've been the recipient of it, and sometimes if I can do it, sometimes you have to cut the numbers on a team because the money just isn't there, and that's tough. But again, you're trying to push a business forward, and if that's the decision that needs to be made, then you do it, and you do it with all the humanity and, you know, reasonableness that you can. But that's part of managing the situation and getting yourself back so that hopefully in 6 months or a year's time, the business is back flourishing again, and you can all kind of be on the upswing. But yeah, I do think just learning to treat everything a little bit with a bit of a smile and try not to get too either overexcited about yourself or too down, and try and keep that kind of that level where you can.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Obviously, Zach started the business last year and I joined him back in January, and things so far the last 6 weeks of me working with him, I'm calling him and it's like, it's good. It's really good. We're very lucky. We're fully booked. Like, we can't take on any more clients. But I was like, but just remember, because as much as I was like, the highs are high, but the lows will be low. And it's just remembering that we'll have the good days and we'll kind of we'll have the low days and just kind of embrace them all. Like, none of it really matters, I guess. You touched on something before when we asked you about Blackpool Tower. You said there are two answers, and one of them that is hopefully that it's still out there. So I guess the question is, before we push you out on your yacht from Blackpool / Morecambe with a margarita in your hand, Ian, what would you say that you've got left to do? What do you want to achieve?
Brace the rudders! Raise the sails! Raise the sails!
Captain, an unidentified ship is approaching. Over.
Roger. Wait, is that an Enterprise sales solution?
Reach sales professionals, not professional sailors. With LinkedIn ads, you can target the right people by industry, job title, and more. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next campaign. Get started today at linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Yeah, it's another good question. I guess I don't feel like I have ever sort of started and finished an entire, not project. I mean, obviously you do that every day. But you know, I've been at the start of some businesses, and I've been at phases where businesses have kind of changed hands and obviously moved phases from you know, one type of business to another and gone through some of those sort of growing pains. But I've never been there from the start all the way through to a kind of an obvious growth point or stepping off point. And I suppose having done all the little bits along the way more than once, I guess in my mind's eye, at some point, kind of being there for all of that and seeing it from start through to finish it's not necessarily even a goal of mine. If it doesn't happen, it's not like it's the end of the world, but that just feels like a kind of piece of the puzzle that I can't tick that one off on the checklist and say, yeah, from start to finish of something, I've been there and seen it through. I've kind of played parts along the way. So that would definitely be, something. And then, I guess on the flip side, obviously, I said, you know, it's not necessarily what the podcast about, but, you know, kids seeing them go off and hopefully be, you know, you like to think, especially when you work in sales roles and it's kind of quite a lot about motivation and mindset and what have you, I'd like to think that, you know, that they'll be able to set off into the world in a few years time and again be resilient and have the right kind of mindset, because they're likely to have to start off doing some sort of job, you know, attached to a phone for 7 hours. But, you know, everyone sort of starts, you know, at the bottom and has to find their way up. And I think if I can contribute to a couple of people being resilient and worldly enough to go out there and take all that in good cheer and just get on with it and prove themselves, then again, that'll be a massive accomplishment for the small part I'll have played in that as well. So I guess that'll be nice to see over the next few years as well.
Yeah. I'm a parent as well, so I know the feeling there. It's funny, sometimes you find yourself using, I don't know if you do as well, you might tell me you don't, I might show myself up here, but you find yourself using sales questions or qualifying things that your children say rather than jumping in with like traditional parenting, I suppose. So it's interesting, yeah. What it teaches you, isn't it? But yeah, my kids keep asking me, when I die, will they get the business, which I think is quite a morbid. There's not much to give them yet.
It's a good closed question, though, isn't it? It's you've got to admire them. That's good technique. They're going to get a black and white answer out of that. So
yeah, exactly. I'm thinking, I'm young. What do you mean who's getting the business yet? I'm going to keep it till you're all old.
So I'm not in the running for it then, I'm guessing.
Your kids are probably in the running for it. Probably right. Like them more than you. right, so last question then, it leads us on quite nicely. So if a Back to the Future moment, there's a knock at the door, we can take you back to the beginning, what's one bit of advice you would give yourself when you started off that you wish you'd known back then?
Funny enough, it makes the most sense, but it sort of links into a couple of things I've touched on before. But I think certainly when I started, and Jack may be surprised with this, but I used to get, you know, very anxious about kind of getting on the phone when I was, you know, literally the telesales guy first through the door, and just used to kind of over imagine all the dreadful things that could happen in the next 5 minutes, all the answers and all of this stuff you could get given, and all the rejection and all the embarrassment of having to come off the phone in front of all your colleagues having clearly got a no again, and I used to sort of just sort of overthink it a bit. And I guess if I could go back, and I just tell them to relax, say, mate, honestly, what is the worst that can happen? You know, someone says no, they don't want to buy your stuff, all right. But I mean, really, what's the worst there? And I think there was a moment, there was a guy I used to work with, and it wasn't even like I was sort of opening up to him saying, oh, I always over worry, but we just had a chat one night, and he just said to me, it's just talking to people. It is just talking to people. And at the end of the day, if you work on the assumption that your clients aren't stupid and they're not going to buy something that is completely ill-suited to them, then frankly, you know, most of them are going to say no because it's just not the right thing for them. And that's completely legitimate. And then the ones for whom this could be a good solution, your job is just to sort of talk to them and just kind of find out, do you think this could be something that might work for you then? And just almost take away all the kind of the jeopardy and the kind of what's hanging on it. And there's a board on the wall with a number on that you want to go up in a minute and put a slightly bigger number up, and just try and drop all of that and just concentrate on, you're just talking to another human being who, you know, hopefully if you've got to this stage of the conversation, you've established they have a need, there is some sort of requirement for them to have what you're putting in front of them. And from here on in, it's just talking them through and seeing if you can find a way for them to make that make sense for them. And I think just, you know, again, it's probably balance. It's probably just a bit of deep breath, a bit of perspective, a bit of mindset. But it took me a little while just to sort of really kind of buy into that and not get overwhelmed up. And I suppose there's still a little bit of that in me and probably all of us. And certainly when you're having a conversation about a big deal, and it just, you know, again, it's kind of a sporting analogy, you know, difference between playing a normal game and a cup final, it's something, everything just gets heightened. So now I sort of, if I'm going for a meeting that I know is, or having an event that I know is, it's just a bigger one than normal, just almost try and talk myself, as I just explained, I would to my 21-year-old self to say, listen, it's just the same thing. It's just talking to a human being, you know, we're just trying to find a solution that hopefully fits for them. But just don't over egg it. Don't get it too big in your mind that everything's resting on this, because that's when you start to, you know, just blow things really, and you're much better off staying calm and just rolling with punches a bit. And I think most clients can, you know, even though they know they're in a scenario, a bit of a game, I think they can appreciate if someone's just trying to calmly talk them through the options. I think they kind of appreciate that and think, you know, this person's giving me good advice. They're not trying over hard. They're not trying to push me into something. They're just talking to me. It, you know, what could be more natural? So yeah, I think just relax and balance and just don't overthink things. I think that's probably the advice I'd have given.
I think that's great advice. I mean, we're in the process of hiring now. So we're going to have a small team up in Manchester, and I'll be kind of, it is that thing of jumping on the phone every day. So how can we keep them motivated? And I think that's brilliant advice. It's like, even now, and do you know what I mean? I've been doing this for years, and it's like, but you still, sometimes my mind is telling me like, look, it's fine. Like, big deal, you get rejected. None of it matters anyway. But sometimes it's your body that reacts, and it's just taking that moment, like you said, breath work, and just going, right, okay, what is going to happen? What is literally the worst that could happen? Nothing. Like it's that's all it is. And then once you get into it, you're like, oh, of course. But it's so funny. You could do it a whole week, have the best week ever, and then have a week, and then you come back to it and you're like, oh, right, okay, the pangs are there again. But I guess that's just part of sales, and you've got to take that energy and that adrenaline and use that to your power.
Yeah, no, exactly. I agree. I certainly didn't remember ever looking across at you and thinking you were suffering from any lack of confidence or mindset. But, you know, I think that's probably the thing you know, honestly, without getting sort of too deep into the psyche of it, I think a lot of the time you look across a sales floor and you don't imagine that any of those people are actually underneath it, sort of, you know, worrying about the next call or what have you, because everyone kind of, you know, naturally kind of bounces off each other, and it's all kind of a bit of bravado, and, you know, the rest of the business always rolls their eyes and goes, oh God, the sales guys are here. But, you know, underneath it, everyone wants to be successful, wants to look in front of their colleagues like they're doing a good job. And I think that, you know, when so much of it comes down to, you know, probably one call every day is your money moment. Like the other 7 hours, 59 minutes are doing important stuff, but there's usually only one call each day that is the big moment of the day. And I think, kind of, because everyone knows that, it is really easy to just kind of almost overbuild that and go, like, this one has to land, this has to be my good call. And almost getting out of that kind of calm mindset and into something that's a little bit more agitated, I think sometimes can work to the detriment of someone doing a good job. So yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, it's just removing the outcome. Thank you so much, Ian. If people found you motivational and they might want to use your services, or they want to send you a message and get a pep talk first thing on a Monday morning at 9 a.m, where can they find you?
Yeah, they have to wait until I've given myself a pep talk on a Monday morning at 9 a.m. as you say, I work at AdZuna. I'm obviously on LinkedIn and you know, all the usual places. So if anyone wants to get in touch, then, you know, by all means, feel free. It'd be great to hook up with people.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Aura. Imagine waking up to find your bank account drained, bills for loans you never took out, a warrant for your arrest, all because someone stole your identity. Hackers aren't waiting. Why are you? That's why we're thrilled to partner with Aura. Your personal data is a goldmine for hackers, and Aura helps lock it down. Aura monitors the dark web, blocks data brokers from selling your information, includes a VPN for private browsing, and a password manager to secure your accounts before criminals break in. For a limited time, Aura is offering our listeners a 14-day free trial plus a dark web scan to check if your personal information has been leaked, all for free at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety to sign up and start protecting yourself and your loved ones. That's aura.com/safety. Terms apply. Check the site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Forever 35 is a running conversation between two good friends, me, Dori Shafrir,
and me, Elise Hugh. In this wild time to be alive, we're a show about the many ways we take care of ourselves.
And our loved ones. Sometimes that might mean upgrading our skincare routines.
Or it might mean more rest.
Or stretching.
Or deepening our relationships.
We talk about all of it.
With each other and with our thoughtful and funny weekly guests.
Boundary making really is just a reflection of how you think about yourself.
Cream blush is the best thing you could do for your life as you get older.
How, Sway? You need to build my this for me.
We also take listener questions from people like you.
All I had to do was tell Siri, call Forever 35.
All right, so we aren't actually 35 anymore.
But we are still the show called Forever 35. Find us wherever you listen.
New episodes drop Mondays and Wednesdays.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.